Good morning, everyone. If you are new to the congregation, my name is Kevin, and I'm married to Lizaldi, and wonderful to be part of the eldership team of this congregation. So now we could have carried on with worship. It does feel this faith, and we want to celebrate the joy that we have in the Lord. But I think it's important because, you know, you get these Sundays where you can just see the setup of the Lord. From the prayer meeting through to the stewardship teaching, to the prophetic words, to the worship, everything was a setup. God is wanting to speak. And I think if we can easily, in our modern day charismatic Christianity, get caught up by the emotion of the moment. But if we understand biblically and theologically what God is speaking about, it sets us up for maturity. It sets us up for consistency and growth. And that is what I believe God is wanting to do this morning. He gave us a taste, and now he wants to lay a biblical understanding of what he spoke about this morning so that we can walk in it. And so, I mean, from the start, it was the sense of Jesus has come to break the bondage from those that are captive, to give oil of gladness. And then there was a sense of, Francois shared that Christ is our richness. He's our great reward. It's in him. And then in the worship, it came about this focus about making a choice to let go of our despair and lay hold of joy. And that's actually something that we see in Scripture in the New Testament where Paul puts a lot of emphasis on. And I want to share a bit on that this morning. And the message I want to share on is flipping the switch. Flip the switch, growing in the practice of appropriation. So that's the title of the message this morning. So a few weeks ago, those of you that can remember, we did a fast. It felt like it was ages ago. many of us don't look like we did a fast anymore. But we did do a three-day fast, and there was incredible breakthrough in that time. I mean, I'm still blown away. I like Paul writes, I thank God for you. I'm thanking God constantly. If I think about people, if I think about situation, when I see someone that shares testimony, I just get overwhelmed with emotion. Uncle Stan, welcome back. Uncle Stan was in the hospital the whole week and he's here. Uncle Stan, we're glad you are here and that you're strong. Praise God. But I look at what God is doing amongst us. It's incredible. There was incredible messages the last few weeks. One in particular, Devet's message about setting our hearts on the goodness of God. And he almost preached all of us out of a job that Sunday. And it was incredible. And there's this emphasis that we need to put our hearts on the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is to be conformed into the image of his son. And a lot of people came for ministry. And God did breakthrough and he touched people. Stories about healings I've heard over the last few weeks. God is on the move, and I'm seeing people break through. But the important thing is, for us as a Christian, we can't live from a moment of breakthrough till another moment of breakthrough. We don't live from a ministry time to another ministry time. We don't live from a fast to a... We live in Christ. And all these promises are in Christ. And so therefore, a ministry time or a fast where I encounter something of God, it's almost a taste of what's available. And so as I taste what's available, I realize, oh, everything I need is in Christ. And so now I lay hold of it every single day because it's available every single day. Or you maybe didn't experience any breakthrough over the last few weeks. The good news for you is you don't need a fast. You don't need a ministry time. What you need is Jesus. And like Francis shared, he made a way, and he is freely available to every single one of us. And so even if you didn't experience a breakthrough, there's joy for you right now. It's a choice. It's an act of faith to lay hold of that. And sometimes we are weak, and we need the help of the body to come around us. We need a moment where we fast so that we can set our hearts on God. But that wasn't the answer. That wasn't the reward. Jesus is, and he's available every single day of the week, every moment of the year. And the picture of this switch is, if you move into a new house, that house is fitted with electricity. If you move in, it's been registered, it's been The account has been opened up, and there's electricity in that house. But you're only going to experience the benefit of that electricity if you flip the switch. And that's the same with our life in Jesus Christ. Everything has been paid for. Everything has been provided for. We need to come and flip the switch and access what is already there. We need to access what is already there. And some of us already access something through the fast or maybe one of these ministry times or through a community moment in the last 4 weeks. But what I don't want to see happen is that we take ground and then we lose it 4 days later. Because we don't have to. Because in Christ, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. And so therefore, I can continue to lay hold of what Christ has for me. And even if I do step back and I lose a bit of ground, I can still lay hold of what Jesus has for me. I've seen too many times through the years. I've been serving God now for 34 years, believe it or not. I've been in leadership in a church for 20 years. I've seen so many people lay hold of something, but because they don't want to do the work, they lose that ground. And they're stuck where they was before that moment of breakthrough. But I want to share with us something that will help us not to lose ground. And then there's some of us that are just happy where we're at. And I want to shake you this morning. I want to grab you by the collar and shake you and say, don't settle, there's still so much more. You know, this is like we had a coffee this week and someone said there's more for the person. And Lizaldi was like, but what does the more mean? It's everything in Christ is the more. The fullness of that life. Francis said, I came to give life and life abundantly. That is the more. So don't settle, because I am convinced that we haven't tasted the fullness of the fullness. Yeah. We haven't tasted that yet. So let's dive in. You can open your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to work from there. We're going to unpack a bit of that. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You're welcome to page in your Bible if you want to open up your app, or you can just look here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Can you see that that says that He has already blessed us? It's already been given to us in Christ. It's not something that we need to go and find or wait for. It has been done. And it's every spiritual blessing. Not some. Not partial. Not a little bit until you upgrade and until you succeed in the little, then you... Because many times we live our lives like we do at school. I need to finish grade 1 and then I can only do grade 2 maths. We don't have to qualify for this. It's already been given. And everything has been given. Isn't that powerful? So we've been blessed. He's already done it with every spiritual blessing in Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4. You don't have to page there. We're going to go back to Ephesians 1. 2 Peter 1, and you know that I'm passionate about the scripture. Because in this scripture, there's so much abundance of what Jesus has for us. I think we live sometimes in only a glimpse, and only a drop of what is available. And yet it says His divine power has given us everything. There's those words again. It's been done, and everything. We need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So He's given us every spiritual blessing. It's available to us because of Him. It's His great promises that He's given to us. And now He wants us to participate in that. Not wait for a ministry time or a Sunday service or a fast, but to daily participate in what He has given us. And that is the invitation. that is the blessing. And it says here that all of this is in Christ. In Christ. It's not if you come to Christ, you will get added blessing. He says the blessing is Christ himself. And it's the life in Christ. Like the little Roman doll you saw at the beginning, I had that Roman doll. You know, Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. Those little dolls that you just stack, stack, stack. And that's, eh? What did I say, Roman doll? Oh. Potato, potato. the Russian doll. Makoestri doll, something like that. Eh? Not that. Anyway, the doll from Russia. A wooden doll. The little doll is inside the other one. You can't see it. You only see the bigger one, but inside there's a smaller one. And that's our lives are in Christ. Hidden in Christ. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes this letter. The first three chapters are all about the blessing that we have in Christ. It doesn't require any action from the church. It's all just, this is who we have in Jesus. And then in the last three chapters, he says, now that you know that, this is what you ought to do. And in that first chapters, he references the word in Christ 30 times. Do you think he's trying to get a point across? That there's a life for each and every one of us in Christ. Not in church, not in Josh Jen, not in an activity of our Christian faith, in Christ. Not in accountability, not in discipleship, in Christ. The other things all help us to find that which we have in Christ. And so it's not Christ and added blessing. The blessing is Christ. The blessing is Christ. And now we need to learn how do we, if this is true, if God has given us every spiritual blessing, he's already given it. The question is, how do I then participate in that? And that is the key of the message this morning. It's been provided. We need to now participate. We need to lay hold of that. And that is what appropriation means. Let me just quickly skip here. We're going to go back to that. That is appropriation. Appropriation is a big word that means laying, not, it doesn't mean laying hold of something new. It's a practical sense, laying hold of participating in receiving something that is already ours. Like this electricity is in the house. We need to switch on the light. That is appropriation. It's a big word to say, lay hold of what is yours. It's taking hold of a scripture, a truth, a principle, a promise. His joy. It's making that choice by faith, embracing it as true for us, even if it doesn't seem or feel true in that moment. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He has done that. It is true. The question is it true for you? And that is the question each and every one of us need to answer. Is that true for me today? Is that true for me tomorrow? Next week, when I lose my job, when someone gets sick, when my washing machine, my microwave, and my tumble dryer break, is it true? When the internet goes down, when I catch my child smoking, is it true then as well? When my wife says something that's hurtful, when my husband says something that's hurtful, if someone does something that hurts me, is it true in that moment as well? Because it can't just be theory. Appropriation says, I move beyond theory. I move beyond adoration. Because some of us might realize he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So it's like, oh, it's amazing. But appropriation is moving beyond just knowledge, adoration. It's actually applicating. It's application. It is laying hold of that which we adore about him. So it's moving beyond that every single day of our lives. So appropriation, that's what it means. Some of you probably thought, is it a new app? No, it's not a new app. It's encouragement this morning not to go to the ChatGPT app. I need to understand what's wrong with me. So Google, please tell me, how do I fix this situation? Google, please tell me what's wrong with me. You know what we do? We see a gray hair on the right side of our head. And then we Google, what does it mean if I start getting gray on the right side? It's like, what? Leafy! Google says, I'm going to die. I'm going to gray hair. And we go first to AI. We go to apps. We go to Google to find some form of answer, some form of clarity for what I need to do in my life right now. I need an answer. I need some perspective. I need understanding. I need a reason for why I'm struggling. And actually what we're doing is we're going to the wrong app. We need to go to Jesus because He is the blessing. And so when I need some understanding of what I'm going through, if I'm downcast, I don't find a reason to legitimize my despondency. I go to Jesus and I choose to throw off a garment or not the garment is happy, the heaviness. Was it also a garment? Is it a garment of heaviness? Spirit. There we go. I knew it wasn't a garment. So we throw off the spirit of heaviness and we lay hold of the garment of praise. I lay hold of His joy. I make a decision. When I start feeling that anxiety rise, I don't go to something that the world has to offer. I first go to Jesus. Because He's blessed me with every spiritual blessing has been given. It's freely available. It's endless. And so I grab hold of that. Sometimes I'm weak. Then I call and I say, guys, please pray. I'm struggling to hold of it. Sometimes we need medical assistance. Sometimes we need things. I'm not against that. But we can't have this without going to Him first. Because that is the testimony. That is the life. That is the blessing for the Christian. That in this world that's running at a rapid pace, that is overwhelming, just this amount of information and the bad news. In this world, we have a source that we can draw from, which is Jesus. And that's the good news. That's a testimony of the believer that can be in the same situation as someone in his work, but they look different. Where does that peace come from? Where does that patience come from? I wouldn't be that patient. It's like, yeah, me neither. But I've got Jesus. I'm in Him. And that is the testimony. That is the testimony for the believer. So just to quickly, get my Bible there in the main bag. Let's just quickly go to Ephesians 1 again. Just briefly look at a few things that we have in Christ. So it says here, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then it says there, for He chose us. So one of the blessings that we have is that we're chosen. And so you might not feel chosen, but that's the point of appropriation. When you don't feel like a chosen one, you lay hold of it by faith. Because in Christ, you are. I underlined it here in my Bible. Then it goes on to say that we're holy and blameless. In verse 4, it says, predestined for adoption. We've been adopted. Wonderful thing about adoption is if you're a child and you get adopted, you get chosen and you get pulled in. We've been chosen and brought into a family. So when I feel lonely, I can hold fast to this, that I've been adopted and accepted into His family. And so if I don't feel like it in the moment, I can lay hold of that. Says that in Christ, verse 6 here, which He has freely given to us, to the praise of His glorious grace. His glorious grace has been freely given to us. Isn't that wonderful? Then it goes on in the next verse, it says, we have redemption. We've received redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of His grace. Also available to us. So these are all some of the blessings that we see in this in this chapter, and you can read through it and just underline, there's so much blessing just in that small passage of Scripture. All been given to us freely in Christ. Now, the thing about appropriation, two things need to precede the act, but there needs to be an act. The two things that precedes the act is, firstly, I need to understand what is available to me. Because it's no use, I don't know there's electricity in the house, right? It's like, I give you a gift card. That gift card doesn't mean much until you know how much is on the gift card, right? Because it could be 10 rand, or it could be 10 million rand. So what is on the gift card? So what we normally do if we receive a gift card, or we find an old one lying around, we go and we get them to swipe it so that they say, what is the balance? And so our balance is endless. Our balance is endless. But firstly, we need to understand what we have. Secondly, we need to understand... I forgot now. I was going so well without the notes. Okay, so firstly, we need to understand what we have access to. Secondly, we need to understand our need for it. We need to understand our need for it. Because it's no use we understand what we have, but we don't understand how desperate we need it. And some of us don't fall here. Some of us fall here. We don't feel that we need it. But we need it. Because think about this. God wouldn't have provided it to us, the all-knowing God, if he doesn't believe we need it. So by virtue of the provision, it communicates our need for it. And then thirdly, the act is, I need to receive it and lay hold of it by faith. And those three things helps me to lay hold of everything that I have in Christ. So firstly, I need to go through Scripture. I need to gain understanding of what is on this gift card. What do I have access to? Secondly, I need to understand that I need it. I can't live without it. Because there is the enemy that will deceive me and tempt me not to lay hold of it. Because if I live there, I live in abundance that Jesus came to give. And if I don't tap into that, I allow him to kill, steal, and destroy. And then lastly, it doesn't help I know what I have access to and that I need it, but I don't lay hold of it. So I need to lay hold of it. And I want to unpack those three things in the second half of the message. Quickly, what do we have in Christ? Here's all the blessing. So are you ready for it? Okay, a deep breath. We're going to quickly run through it, all right? So quickly, phone if you have any meetings. Let them know we're going to go through the blessings that we have in Christ. So we'll be there in 1,000 years. It's endless. It's endless. But here's just a few things that we can look at. Our identity in Christ. This is all that we have in Christ. We are children of God. We are adopted into his family. We are chosen and elected. We are a new creation. We are citizens of heaven. We are members of his body, a royal priesthood, ambassadors of Christ, and co-heirs with Christ. And we did nothing to gain that. It is all in Christ, and it's available to us. I'll give this all to the whole church via WhatsApp. Our positional blessings. We've been justified. We've been declared righteous. We can come before him in Christ as if we have never sinned. We're redeemed. We've been forgiven of all our sin. We've been reconciled to God. We were once enemies, now we're friends. We are sanctified, set apart. We're made righteous. We are no longer condemned, no more guilt on us. And we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. All of those blessings in Christ. What do we have access to? We have access to the indwelling Holy Spirit because of Jesus. We've got access to the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We've got no excuses because we've got access to God's presence. We've got peace with God. We've got joy unspeakable. We've got the love of God that's been poured out to our hearts abundantly, lavishly. We've got the mind of Christ, and we've got all the treasures of wisdom available to us in Christ Jesus. We've got victory over sin. We've got freedom from the law, the sin, and death. We've got strength to contend, to be content, not contend, to be content in all circumstances. Paul says, when I had lack, when I had much, I can do all things through Christ. So we've got strength in Christ. We've got guidance by Spirit. We've got provision for our needs in him. We've got the armor of God. We've got boldness to access His presence. And we've got spiritual rest. But wait, there is more. We have eternal life in Him. We've got resurrection from the dead, eternal inheritance. We will be glorified with Christ. We will reign with Him. There's a new heaven and earth for us available in Christ, and a crown of life, righteousness, and glory. And that is just a drop of the fullness of what we have. It's entry point of what we have in Christ. Man, if you look at this, can you realize that I need to understand that I've got need of Him? And I can't just know it. I need to lay hold of it. Because why would I suffer through this life if I've got access to that? Why would I find a breakthrough in a moment and in a year's time need to come forward for that same breakthrough again? Why? It's because I don't lay hold of what I have in Christ Jesus. We've got great need of it because there's an enemy out there to deceive us and to keep us away from that. Best example of this is between Jacob and Esau. And in this moment where Jacob and Esau, Esau had the birthright, he had the inheritance as the firstborn. He was allowed by his father, Isaac, and he had the promise of the inheritance and the birthright. And one day, coming back from hunting, his brother Jacob, which means, if you look at the definition or the meaning of the name Jacob, it means deceiver. One of the meanings. And he came home after spending time in the fields hunting. He's tired. He's hungry. He's wasted, modern day word. And he's coming home wasted. And as he comes in, he smells lentil stew. Eh? Lentil stew. Must have been very good lentil stew. But he smells the lentil stew. He's hungry, he's tired, and he smells it. And all he can think about is, I need that now. I need that now. 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 And he says to his brother, hey man, I'm wasted. Skoor my bikkie man. Give me some. Just, I need some. And Jacob says, all right, I'll give you a bowl of stew to satisfy you immediately in this moment. But give me your birthright. Give me your inheritance. Give me what you've got access to and I don't. Give that to me. And Esau says, yeah, of course. I mean, what use is it that I've got that and I die in this moment? So I'd rather not die right now and I'll give you my birthright. And in that moment, Esau exchanges his birthright for a momentary moment of satisfaction and a momentary moment of relief. And this is a stark warning for us as believers, is that we have a birthright. We have inheritance. We've got a right in Christ. But there's a deceiver that will tempt us and say, why? Just quickly, grab this, you know? Here's a quick fix for your solution. You are anxious? Here's something. You are downcast? Here's something. You're filled with fear? Here's something. You're stressed and worried? Here's alcohol. Here's a TV show. Struggling to overcome sin? You need to get sorted now, right now. So here's a quick release for you. And in that moment, what we do is we exchange what we have in Christ for a quick momentary relief. And so let's learn from this moment as believers and not live a life where we exchange what we have in Christ for something that the world has to offer. Because what the world has to offer might satisfy us for a moment, but it can lead us away from our pure devotion to Jesus. It can lead us away from the life that we have in Christ. So don't swap what we have in Christ for a lentil soup. There's so much more in Christ. We have need of Him. And we have need of what we have in Him. So let's be aware. If you had breakthrough, my encouragement to you, even as we sang that song, I've got joy in him. In one sense, it was a God set us up to show us, this is what I have for you. Now you make the decision, lay hold of it. And then lastly, we need to access it. Now how do we access it? How do we access it? Four D's. Four dimensions. No, just four D's. We were joking because, never mind, let me not go there. I see Lizaldi's like, don't go there. I won't go there. But there is four D's that can help you to appropriate and lay hold of it. The first one is die. Now, the thing about the death, it's actually putting off, it's letting go of something that's draining us and killing us. So in one sense, it's not dying to the life of God, it's dying to our flesh and to the death that comes from obeying the evil one. That's what we need to die to. So it says put that off. Put off the, put off the evil desires of the flesh. Put to death the evil desires of the flesh. And so I know in Josh and we speak a lot about dying to self and dying to live. But the thing is, we need to die so that we could live. We need to die to self, but we need to lay hold of life in God. And many of us just die. And we die. But we die so that we can lay hold of life. We don't just die to die and to struggle and to... We put to death our flesh. We lay down our cross so that we can lay hold of what we have in Christ. And I believe many of us don't make that transition where we put to death to lay hold of life. And so actually the promise here is there is life in Christ. There's abundance in Christ. So don't just die and put off, but also lay hold. And so it's, as we sang, put off the spirit, I let go of the spirit of despair and heaviness, and I put on. And so we need to do both those things, but it starts with repentance. It starts with dying. It starts with letting go. And then we need to dress ourselves, put on a garment of praise. In Colossians, it speaks about putting on humility, putting on compassion. In Galatians, it speaks about putting on, clothing yourself with Christ. There's actually a putting on that we need to do as we appropriate. This is how I put on, personally. Yes, I preach to myself. Not with the same energy that I do on stage. But I do preach to myself daily. It's not that I confess so that I can name it and claim it. I confess what I have in Christ so that I can hear it. And so that I can by faith lay hold of what I've got. Because I forget. My mind's all over the show. So I need to preach to myself and I need to direct my thoughts to what I have in Him. Through repentance. Through praise and thanksgiving. Through praise and thanksgiving. There was a moment where I got news and it made me extremely insecure recently. Extremely. It's like, whew. Where's this insecurity coming from? And I think it was rooted in fear of man, not being good enough, feeling like I'm going to be a failure. And so this started to creep up. And I just realized I can sit here and stress about this, or I can preach to myself. And so what I did in that moment, I was driving in the car, and I put off everything that I was feeling in that moment. And I started to confess, and I started to preach. And I said, come on. You know, what is your life? God is good. And so trust Him. Trust Him. And so I started to thank God for His trustworthiness, for His goodness. And I just started to remind myself of that, and say, now in Christ, you have security. Your eternal destiny is secure in Him. And so what I did is I directed my thoughts in Colossians 3. I think it's here somewhere. In Colossians 3, it says, it says, put your minds on things above. Put your minds on things above in heavenly places. And I realized, man, I can sit here and stress about a moment now, Or I can and get insecure, or I can think that my eternity is secure in him. And man, as I thought about that, as I thought of good him, what else? You know, Paul says, I count all things as rubbish for the surpassing greatness of knowing him. I started to think about that. I started to confess that. And suddenly the insecurity went. And then I started to thank God that it was going. And I became secure in him. C.S. Lewis said, I read this quote the other day. I thought this profound. Because we need to also, as we confess what we have in Christ, we need to also know what we have in him in terms of our security forever, for eternity. Christians who did the most for the present world were precisely those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have begun thinking less of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim at the earth and you get neither. I thought it was powerful. And how we get consumed with what I'm facing here and what's going on here. And if I lose sight of what's available, I get overwhelmed by what is here. And so as I'm preaching to myself, as I'm directing my thoughts to what I have in Christ, I also direct it to my eternal security in him. Because it gives me a sense of security and hope. Think about our calling in Christ. Paul prays in Ephesians 1 verse 17. He says, I pray that this God might grant you the spirit of wisdom to open up the eyes of your heart, that you might know him, and the hope of the calling that you have in Christ. The interesting thing is, when he prays that prayer, it doesn't say the hope that comes from your calling. Because many of us find our hope in our calling. It doesn't say that you might find the hope of your calling. It says the hope of his calling. And what this means is that he's called you. What has he called you? Into a living relationship with him. There's a call that he's chosen you and he's called you to spend eternity with him. That is his calling for you, is to live in him and make him known. And the hope is because. It's because of the calling. It's not from the calling. It is because of the calling that I have hope. My hope is because I'm going to spend eternity with him. And then I draw faith. Sometimes certain things that I can lay hold of, I can come here and I say, Lord, I need joy. And then by faith, I need to receive it. So I thank him for joy. If it's a decision I need to make. And then I realize, okay, I'm going to put off the spirit of heaviness. And Lord, I thank you for your joy. It's in your presence. And so, Lord, I choose, even in this moment that I don't feel joyful, I know that in Christ, I have joy. And so I receive it by faith. I receive it. And then I act on it. Sometimes we need to fast. But the fasting is not to come like get God to act. The fasting is, it's a tool for me where I focus my mind and my emotions to receive from him and to lay hold of what he has for me. That is why so many of us experience breakthrough in the fast, because there's a moment that we actually set aside to do this, where we waited on him and we laid hold of what he has. I've got a song that I sing almost daily in my life. As I woke up and I feel the anxiety of, I experience anxiety every single day. I don't think a single Zaldi would even know that. I experience it every single day if I think of what I need to do, who I need to get to, situations I'm dealing with. And then I sing this song to myself every morning. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, Lord, how I need you. And that's the thing that keeps me through. So just in that moment, like, I can't do this. Lord, I need you. You're my strength. You're my joy. You're my hope. Sometimes I need to sing it more than once a day. I do. Sometimes driving to a meeting, I sing, Lord, I need you. I need. And it's become something just, it's just a moment that I just lay hold. Direct my thoughts. And I receive what he's got for me. Because I don't want to exchange what I have in Christ for a lentil soup here. And then lastly, I need to do. I need to do. I need to act. So if I receive joy, I can't continue just to sit and it's like, joy, joy. I can't continue in this place. By faith, I'm saying, okay, I don't feel like it, but I know I've got access to joy. And so by faith, Jesus, I'm coming to you. And I choose to put on a garment of praise. And so I'm going to lift you up. Have any of you ever felt in 20 seconds of just continuous praise, fell down? If you just pour out your heart and say, God, you are good, you are majestic, you are wonderful, you are great, there's no one like you. I tell you, it's impossible to feel despair while you confess the goodness of God. And so I hope that I've provoked every single one of us to lay hold of what we have in Christ every single day of our lives. I'm going to quickly finish and land with this prayer from Paul in Ephesians 1 verse 15. It says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And this is his prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And my prayer is that you would know that incomparably great power that is available to you, to every single one of us in Christ.